The Nightmare of Disbelief. The text is based on the book The Nightmare of Disbelief by Harum Yahya. Wickedness, injustice, distrust, unconscionableness, jealousy, rage, drug addiction, immorality, gambling, prostitution, hunger, poverty, social corruption, theft, war, struggle, violence. News about these issues appears in the newspapers and on TV every day. In daily life, you too personally experience such problems. People in societies endeavor to liberate themselves from the distressing experiences, disorder, and gloomy social structures that prevail over the world for long periods. To confirm, you can glance at the ancient Greek, the Roman Empire, the Tsarist Russia, or the so-called Age of Enlightenment, if you like, and 20th century, the century of misery which became the scene of two world wars and social disasters worldwide. No matter on which century or location you concentrate your research, the picture will not vary much. If this is the case, why haven't people succeeded in solving these problems? Surely in every age people came across with these problems, yet each time they failed to find solutions because they must have employed inept methods. For these problems, they sought various solutions. They employed different political systems and adopted various trains of thought, while many preferred an indifferent attitude and merely accepted the status quo. In our day, people are almost numbed with this way of living. They readily believe these problems to be realities of life. They picture a society immune to these problems as a utopia, an impossible dream. However, there are also some people in this world who never suffer mentally or physically from any of these complications. Around them, there is always an abundance of favors, comfort, love, respect, peace, confidence, moral virtues, and friendship. These are the ones who spend their lives to earn the good pleasure of Allah, who follow the commandments of the Quran and hope to attain His mercy and paradise. In brief, they are those who have faith in Allah. In other words, the settlement of all these problematic issues is possible only by living by the principles of the true religion. Only when the true religion prevails can a pleasant and tranquil scene replace this gloomy picture which widely exists in societies nowadays. The unfavorable picture depicted above is doomed to continue when Allah's limits are ignored. People are enslaved by these complications as long as they avoid religion. Put simply, this is the nightmare of disbelief. In this program, you will find how the regulation of life by norms of morality introduced by the Quran will eradicate the nightmare of disbelief. Where am I coming from? Where will I go? What is the meaning and purpose of my life? What is death like? Is it certain that there is life after death? Is there paradise in hell? What is the origin of life? Where is the Almighty Creator of the universe? What are good and bad, right and wrong? Where do I find the answers to these questions? For ages, people have sought answers to these crucial questions, given serious thought to them and discussed them. Yet, in all ages, the most reliable answers to these questions have been provided by the true religion, which is the revelation of Allah and not by the philosophers. It is a clear fact that everything in the universe, down to its slightest details, is the creation of Allah, the Almighty and All-Knowing. A person can reach to Allah through observation and contemplation of his surroundings. For people of understanding, the world overflows with evidences. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for people with intelligence. Those who remember Allah, standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, Our Lord, You have not created this for nothing. Glory be to You. So safeguard us from the punishment of the fire. Surah Al-Imran, 190-191. At this point, the need for religion becomes more apparent. This is simply because one who perceives the existence of his Creator would surely like to know Him better, know what He demands from him, and find ways to attain His love and mercy. It is religion that explains to humanity the fundamental issues we need to know. Allah sent down religion to His servants, thereby introducing Himself to them, instructing them about the attitudes, behaviors, moral values, and lifestyle He had designed us for, informing us about the true meaning of the concepts of good and bad, right and wrong, making us aware of life after death, the rewards of those who obey Him, and the punishment awaiting the rebellious ones. The religion of Allah also explains the ultimate purpose of life. This is related in the Quran as follows: I only created jinn and man to worship me. Surat al-Dariyat, 56. The way to worship Allah is also communicated by the righteous religion. Worshipping Allah means accepting the unity and existence of Allah, serving no other deity except Him, and spending one's life to earn His good pleasure. In the Quran, the moral values and lifestyle favored by Allah are described in detail, and people are summoned to this way of living. A person living within the boundaries of these values is given the good tidings of a perfect life, both in this world and beyond. Otherwise, a bitter end awaits those who divert from this purpose, fail to behave in the way Allah praises, and fail to be a due servant to Him. All these things are communicated through the righteous religion. The Quran gives a detailed account of the worship Allah requires from His servants. In the Quran, one finds all the answers pertaining to the questions about praying, remembering Allah, regular worship, obligatory alms, and so on. Besides, the attributes of a believer praised by Allah, the type of behaviors and attitudes a believer should avoid, the moral values a believer should display, are all explained in the Quran. Modesty, sacrifice, honesty, justice, mercy, tolerance, determination, and similar moral characteristics are shown to be the essential attributes of being a good servant to Allah. Wicked deeds, improper attitudes, styles, and ways of addressing people are all identified in the Quran, and believers are warned against them. Consequently, religion enables one to discriminate between good and evil, right and wrong. As long as people do not evaluate events according to the Quran, various conflicting criteria are employed to discern between good and evil. Such diverse criteria result in erroneous and harmful consequences. For instance, in societies remote from righteous religion, a person who attempted a crime only once is regarded as more innocent than others. A burglar describes himself as a harmless person, while, by his very words, a murderer has committed an unacceptable offense. A murderer thinks that he is not so bad, since he committed murder only once in his lifetime. According to this murderer's criteria, those who make their living on murder are bad, but he is not, because he only did it once. A professional criminal would draw a comparison between himself and someone else and find himself innocent. The same is also true for other people. A person who gossips sees this offense as a minor one, since he carries no bad intention in doing it. A person bearing malice towards someone thinks he is good deep in his heart, since he bears malice only when he is right. It is possible to extend the list of such arguments. In brief, all these people think themselves innocent and never accept the wickedness of their offenses. However, all these excuses are invalid, and all these people are seriously wrong. This is because what makes a person righteous is his complete adherence to the Book of Allah. On the other hand, when he acts against the morality of the Quran, this person is guilty, no matter what he claims. The unique source that distinguishes between right and wrong, the truth and falsehood, is the Quran. This fact is related in a verse as follows. Blessed be he who has sent down the criterion of right and wrong to his slave, so that he can be a warner to all beings. Surah Al-Furqan 1. The Quran provides a detailed description of right and wrong and how to follow our conscience. Each belief one inherits from one's family or forefathers or hears from his social environment is inherently untrustworthy as long as it does not comply with the Quranic principles. What really matters is to avoid wicked deeds established as such by the Quran and do what is praised as good. Besides making clear that our only purpose is to worship Allah, the Quran also proclaims that we will be tested to this end. It draws our attention to the fact that this world is a testing place specially prepared for this purpose. Accordingly, as a requisite to this test, Allah warns man against factors specially created to tempt him away from the true path. The test is whether he resists these temptations or not. Social status, prosperity, children, good standards of living, as well as poverty and poor living conditions given to man in changing degrees are the means by which he is tested in this world. One of the verses says, "It is Allah who has made you agents, inheritors of the earth, and raised some of you above others in rank, so he could test you regarding what he has given you. Your Lord is swift in retribution. He is ever forgiving, most merciful." Surah Al-An'am 165. Nevertheless, those people who are unaware of or far from comprehending these facts are tempted by the deceptive lure of these favors. They try to make the most of these favors and crave after them throughout their lives. Meanwhile, they feel deep frustration or hopelessness when they encounter trouble and difficulties. In the Quran, there is also reference to such a mood. If we let man taste mercy from us and then take it away from him, he is despairing, ungrateful. But if we let him taste blessings after hardship has afflicted him, he says, "My troubles have gone away," and he is overjoyed, boastful. Surah Hud 9-10. Believers who interpret all incidents with the guidance of Allah's revelation turn to Him under all circumstances, keep in mind the remembrance of Allah, and engage in a steady effort of attaining the real abode of man. That is why true believers never go astray or exceed the limits of Allah when they receive an abundance of favors, nor become despondent and depressed when they remain deprived of them. Aware that they are being tested in their reactions to favors as well as deprivations, they always endeavor to display the attitudes most favored by Allah. Besides warning man about the temporary nature of the life of this world, the true religion also proclaims that the eternal real life will continue in the hereafter, the life after death. That everyone will be rewarded according to his or her deeds in the hereafter, and no good or evil act will remain unpaid, is also revealed by the religion. It is revealed that those who abide by the commands of the true religion in this world and behave as Allah approves will be rewarded in the hereafter, and that those who reject the true religion and fail to follow its commands will suffer eternal punishment in hell. The religion gives all the necessary information about the details of death, resurrection, the Day of Judgment, Paradise, and Hell. The Quran, the last revelation of Allah, gives a detailed account of the hereafter and reminds us that the real abode of man is the hereafter. The life of the world is nothing but a game and a diversion. The hereafter is better for those who have fear of Allah. So will you not use your intellect? Surah Al-An'am 32. Disbelief has wide-ranging negative impacts on human beings and societies alike. Injustice, selfishness, and untrustworthiness are common characteristics of the members of a disbelieving society. Only the true religion assures moral perfection for societies and individuals. Those who believe in Allah and the hereafter desire to attain the good pleasure of Allah. Being aware that they will have to account for their acts, they build their conduct on the fear of Allah. They cautiously avoid wicked deeds, attitudes, and behaviors not praised by Allah. However, a disbelieving person, failing to recognize that he will ultimately be rewarded or punished for his deeds, does not observe any limits. Disregarding the Day of Judgment, he simply sees no necessity to limit his wicked deeds. Despite avoiding some socially unacceptable behaviors, many people do not hesitate to commit other evils when they are urged, encouraged, or have an opportunity. Such people either entirely reject religion or find excuses such as, "I am honest, good, and sincere," and thus avoid the harmonious way of living described in the Quran. However, in both cases, people unconsciously know that they should lead the type of life approved by Allah. But when they do not behave in accordance with their conscience, they eventually start to taste grief while they are still in this world. In disbelieving societies, the basic source of all distress, psychological and spiritual problems, is this spiritual distress which we call pangs of conscience. The pangs of conscience are only a minor part of the eternal and unbearable spiritual grief a non-believer feels in the hereafter. The reason why man suffers from this worldly pain is because he prefers a way of living, attitude, and outlook contrary to his purpose in creation. As long as he does not change his irreligious attitudes and mentality, he is doomed to suffer from spiritual grief. Mentally and physically, man is naturally inclined to religion. Abusing this inborn nature leads to personal and sociological complications. These complications are actually the social and personal miseries which have had a negative impact upon humanity throughout history. These impacts are still experienced in virtually all societies in our day. The single way to eradicate these complications is to live by the teachings of the Quran. As mentioned earlier, one who does not live by the morals made clear in the Quran does not expect to be judged by his deeds. There is no reason why such a person should observe any limits or work for the good and interests of others. According to his mistaken beliefs, given that he has only one chance to live in this world, he thinks he should lead his life under the most comfortable conditions, go after anything he wants, and be able to do anything he likes. A person indoctrinated with such a mistaken approach is vulnerable to any wickedness or immorality. He readily lies, steals, breaks his promises, resorts to violence, takes lying for granted, defrauds, or exploits the labor and resources of people whenever he has the opportunity. There is simply nothing preventing such a person from evil. In time, his conscience loses its sensitivity to such an extent that he becomes enslaved by his lower self. He obeys the commandments of his own selfishness without any hesitation. He sees no limits to how he should engage in wickedness. If it is in his interests, he sees no reason why he should avoid killing a person. Every day, newspapers run headlines about such incidents. They abound with news about people killing their neighbors for jewelry, women killing their husbands out of jealousy, people killing their friends out of rage, fathers torturing their children, or people murdering their parents for money. Definitely, this is merely the tip of the iceberg. There are countless similar incidents occurring every day, which remain hidden. All these provide clear evidence that these people have become the blind slave of their lower self. These people have become so because they do not live by religion and do not have fear of Allah. In the Quran, these people are named the transgressors beyond bounds, the sinner. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, 12. In a society where people can do anything at any time, an ordinary person next to you in a bus, shopping mall, or a theater may well pose a potential danger. He may be a robber, a murderer, a rapist. On the other hand, in a society with people living by the true religion and having fear of Allah, there are none of the sins such as theft, bribery, lying, and murder. A person adhering to the true religion follows his conscience, lives to observe the limits of Allah, and does not obey the evil whispered to him by his lower self. When religion is not observed, however, a person is under the control of his lower self, leaving his conscience aside, and he always behaves as his own interests demand. This is exactly what leads the way to every kind of wickedness. True religion, on the other hand, prohibits such wickedness and opens the way to a beautiful and peaceful environment in this world. A disbelieving person may come out and say, "I do not have faith in Allah, but I do not accept a bribe either." Indeed, it is quite possible that this person did not accept a bribe throughout his life because of his principles. However, under some certain undesirable circumstances, he may not be able to resist and take a bribe. For instance, he may be in desperate need of money. His family may urge him to take a bribe, or he may be in an environment where bribery is considered acceptable. Various other circumstances may lay the appropriate ground for taking a bribe and lead that person to submit to taking one. However, religion strictly prohibits bribery and hence prevents this serious social problem, both from the point of the receiver and the offerer. A believer attempts neither to take a bribe nor to offer or encourage one. Bribery is a form of injustice which is condemned in many verses. Do not devour one another's property by false means, nor offer it to the judges as a bribe, trying through crime to knowingly usurp a portion of another's property. Surat al-Baqarah, 188. In our day, the major reason why so many problems remain unsettled is the fact that people who are assigned to deal with them are not qualified or sufficiently talented to handle these problems. This is because these people lack the commitment to work for the good of people or to serve humanity. Therefore, they do not try to improve themselves to become competent. Often, the criteria set to assign people to particular positions is not their talents to handle the responsibilities they undertake, but mutual self-interest and privileges. For instance, the son of a factory owner may generally assume the responsibility of managing that factory. However, whether the heir possesses the knowledge and skills to manage a factory is not considered. Moreover, he may have a dislike for the job. Yet, since another job does not provide the benefits he looks for, he unwillingly assumes the responsibility. Given this background, he naturally cannot achieve beneficial results. However, in an environment where the Quranic principles are adhered to, such problems never appear, since the Quran commands believers to give tasks and responsibilities to those people who possess the skills and knowledge the individual task requires. Allah commands you to deliver all that you have been entrusted with unto those who are entitled thereto, and when you judge between people, to judge with justice. How excellent is what Allah exhorts you to do! Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. Surah Al-Nisa, 58. Religion teaches man the concepts of reliability and fidelity, and these can only be applied in places where religion is observed. It would entirely be flawed to expect these concepts to endure in a disbelieving society. A person remains faithful to others under every circumstance, in times of difficulty and trouble, as well as in good times. Only when he endeavors to attain the good pleasure of Allah and expects his reward to be in the hereafter. The society abounds with examples. A person sees the people around him fall away from him when he retires from a respectable position. For instance, when a celebrity no longer attracts the attention of people, or when a wealthy person goes bankrupt. Similarly, A person caught by a deadly disease bitterly feels the loss as his friends desert him. Friendship is another social phenomenon where infidelity is commonly experienced. In disbelieving societies, people tend to leave even their closest friends once they believe another friendship would prove to be more fruitful. This is true for those who are engaged to be married. They display infidelity to the person they love once they meet someone else who is richer, more beautiful, or has made a more successful career. The same is also true for marriages. Couples elope or deceive one another for trivial reasons. According to their flawed rationale, the wicked deeds they commit will remain hidden since nobody witnesses them. Therefore, there is nothing to hinder them. In brief, in most relationships in disbelieving societies, there is disloyalty, infidelity, and therefore distrust among people. In such societies, people leave their old parents to the care of certain institutions, forgetting that, once upon a time, these old people brought them up. Moreover, these aged people are treated badly in many of these homes. As seen, hearts deprived of religious values can make a man assume an uncaring or violent attitude even towards his own parents. People no longer see one another as worthless when they adhere to the principles of the true religion. They see one another as precious beings to whom Allah gave souls. The distinctive attribute of someone is surely neither his looks nor his possessions, nor his status. His taqwa and the moral perfection he displays is what makes him precious. The body is but a temporary favor given to man, just as any other favor. Man is here in this world to be tested. He will live a short life, then pass away. In the hereafter, he will be judged according to his moral qualities. That is why only good morality matters. When the real religion prevails, one witnesses the best examples of loyalty and faithfulness. People cherish their parents. No matter how old they are, parents, artists, scholars, people who serve their countries are held dear. Friendships last for a lifetime. More than friends, people become like brothers and sisters. Couples who plan to marry maintain the continuity of their relationship in the remembrance of Allah, intending to make it last forever. Having faith in the existence of an everlasting life after death, they display complete devotion to each other. One point deserves mention here. Someone may claim, after listening to these examples, that he would never demonstrate immorality, despite the fact that he has no faith. It may indeed become true that he never demonstrates such unfavorable behaviors throughout his life. However, as we mentioned earlier, conditions may change in a way where he thinks he can advance his interests. He may enter a new environment where it is not condemned for these behaviors. Or seemingly very attractive opportunities may appear. There may be many other such conditions which eventually lead him to betray his values and principles. However, whatever the circumstances are, believers never dare to assume an attitude which displeases Allah. For such a person, there are no exceptions. Consequently, peace and security prevail where people adhere to the way of Allah. In an environment where people adhere to the principles of the Quran, everyone endeavors to attain the best manners. In such an environment, peace and tranquility become a natural way of living. Anger, struggles, disputes, crude and bad manners simply disappear. Believers acknowledge that everything that occurs is under the control of Allah, and hence they submit themselves to Him. This awareness provides him with a balanced spirit, good or bad. No incident makes them lose their control. They do not show alarm. They are not misled by their emotions, and so they conduct themselves rationally under every circumstance. That is why they are very trustworthy people. Even in times of hardship and trouble, they never give up or despair, but act with an even temper. They are tolerant and compassionate towards people. They speak and act in the best manner. Everyone longs for a social structure where people feel compassion and mercy for each other, where they race each other to display decent manners, where no injustice occurs, and benevolent manners prevail. Only religion ensures such an environment of bliss. The existence of a truly peaceful social life is only possible when individuals collectively live by the principles of Allah's religion and attain a self-sacrificing attitude. It is not at all adequate for only a few exceptional people to attain these moral qualities. Alternatively, adhering to the Quranic principles when one encounters certain situations and diverting from them at other times, or avoiding some wicked deeds on principle but willingly committing others, does not establish the desired environment either. A person who adheres to the principles of the Quran brings solutions to problems and acts wisely under all circumstances. Thus, a person living by the principles of the Quran never feels frustrated, no matter how complicated the situation might seem. This is also why, in a society where religion prevails, a person never encounters a complication he cannot overcome. On the other hand, disbelieving people experience lots of problems and troubles throughout their lives. But, rather than seeking sound solutions for them, they incorporate the problems into daily life, as if they are doomed to remain unsolved. Being incompetent to solve problems has its repercussions in every aspect of a disbeliever's life. Mostly, they fall into despair and complain. Meanwhile, they fail to exercise their reason or to find solutions. Even if they attempt to do so, their solutions prove to be irrational, since they limit their thought to a very limited perspective. Believers, on the other hand, being conscious that Allah takes account of all things, remain wise, conscientious, and thoughtful under all circumstances. They make the most pertinent decisions and find the best solutions. They swiftly decide on matters since they are guided by the best morality, the strong feelings of responsibility, and the faculty of thinking granted to them by the Quran. They manage their affairs by mutual consultation. Under every circumstance, they take the preference which most pleases Allah. In no case do they divert from justice and righteousness, though it might be contrary to their personal interests and the desire for self-satisfaction. Nothing drifts man into depression and despondency, provided that he puts the solutions provided by the Quran into practice and keeps in mind that there is definitely something positive created by Allah in the seemingly most negative situation. Adherence to religion eradicates all sorts of pessimism and feelings of failure. He has a positive perspective on every issue he comes up against, whether it be large or small, because he is well-warned and well-guided. This stance brings about peace both to personal and social areas of life. As well as many undesirable effects on society, disbelief is pernicious to the physical and spiritual well-being of individuals. Throughout their life, those who are not bound by the religion and do not place their trust in Allah suffer feelings of constant sorrow, trouble, and stress. Thus, they suffer from many psychological diseases. Their bodies go through a rapid process of aging. The spiritual suffering can attack their bodies. These effects turn destructive for even the most healthy, young, and beautiful person. Believers, however, remain robust since they stay psychologically healthy and are not dragged down by feelings of sorrow, stress, or hopelessness. Putting their trust in Allah, seeing a goodness in every incident, and the promises and glad tidings of Allah, these all have their positive impact on their physical health. This situation applies to people who have a thorough grasp of Allah, who are conscientious in its real sense, and who completely live by the principles of the Quran. Of course, believers also become sick and grow old, yet this does not have psychological causes as in the case of disbelievers. Diseases, death, and growing old are inevitable for all mankind. Yet, the rapid, intense, and destructive nature of these processes bears a direct relation to the negative psychology and attitude a person assumes as a result of the disbelieving way of living he adheres to. A person spending his entire life in a peaceful state of mind, placing his trust in Allah, and seeking a goodness in every incident will naturally be happy and peaceful, and thus prevent the detriment that troubles could otherwise bring to his health. A society where people do not adhere to religious values is doomed to remain bereft of the peace and comfort the religion provides and encounter consequent psychological and physical damage. In our day, two diseases are associated with the term the complaints of our age, stress and depression. These two are not only catch-all complaints, but are also linked to physical disorders. The most known disorders linked to stress and depression are mental disorders, drug addiction, sleeplessness, dermatological and abdominal diseases, as well as the disorders related to blood pressure, bones, the kidney, the respiratory system, allergies, flu, migraine, heart attack, and enlargement of the brain. Of course, it would be wrong to link the causes of these diseases to stress and depression alone. However, a whole body of scientific research proves that they are diseases having their roots in psychological problems. In a life structured by religious principles, disorders caused by stress and depression will be rare. This is because such a life involves putting one's trust in Allah and faith in destiny. Knowing that Allah is the friend of His righteous servants, a person is secure in his attitude which most pleases Him, knowing He will approve. Ultimately, doing the best one can ever attain under all circumstances brings the kind of relief one can enjoy out of acting conscientiously. Encountering even the worst of all circumstances, the believer acknowledges this to be a trial from Allah. Never does he fall into despair and feel frustrated or distressed. Having to attain the hereafter as the ultimate goal in his mind, what really matters is to attain the sort of conduct which will earn him the eternal rewards of the hereafter. Due to his strong faith in Allah, seemingly negative incidents do not distress him or drive him into a desperate mood. Consequently, his calm and positive state of mind builds a strong constitution. A strong and successful social structure is based on families with strong ties. The degeneration of society becomes inevitable once family ties disintegrate. Ideologies like communism or socialism, which rest on anti-religionist grounds, primarily target the family. There is an intention to eradicate values like marriage, the precious nature of motherhood, fidelity, privacy, and honor. Thus, philosophers and leaders who give direction to irreligious societies present these values as worthless and vain. For instance, living together without marriage was formerly totally rejected by society, while today it is regarded as an ordinary phenomenon. But it is not enough to limit the concept of family only to the relations between husband and wife. The attitude children take towards their parents and older members of the family is also important. In an environment where religious principles prevail, love and respect governs these relationships. Disrespectful and rude manners of speaking, shouting, and fights do not exist. Instead, peace and joy prevail. No more family disasters happen. Everyone cherishes his family. Children see their parents as a blessing and feel great attachment to them. Likewise, parents feel that their children are given to their protection by Allah. Family means warmth, love, trust, and solidarity. Such a healthy family environment demands a complete and sincere devotion to the religion, as well as a profound fear and love for Allah. The most distinctive characteristic of non-religious societies is the prevalence of degeneration and disintegration, which accelerates with each passing day. Since people do not follow Quranic values and are bereft of values like fear for Allah or earning the good pleasure of Allah, there exists no limitation to hinder this degeneration. It is true that factors like traditions, customs, and social laws developed by individuals or leaders have a precautionary effect. However, because they are developed by man and not grounded on the fear of Allah and obedience to Him, they fail to restrain the cruel, unconscientious, and inhuman behavior of people at all levels of society. When divine rules do not lay down the criteria, moral understanding may differ greatly from one person to another. An immoral attitude rejected by one may well be perfectly normal for someone else. Hence, in societies where religion has no influence, people, societies, regions, cities, and countries set their own moral values, which are different from one another and in conflict with each other. In the absence of a unified perspective regarding moral values, the society becomes the setting for numerous disputes and conflicts over what is right and what is not right. Every new generation becomes more degenerate than the previous one. Moral degeneration corrupts societies at an ever-increasing rate. Societies rapidly become corrupt when there is incomplete faith in Allah. In this way, a form of outrageous behavior perceived to be extreme in one year is embraced by the same members of the society the following year. This is the start of slippery slope. The progressive decline surely brings ruin to the society, and degradation, a consequence of disbelief, spreads with each passing day. What is interesting is that immorality is presented as modernity and becomes the topic of the greatest indoctrination in societies. An understanding which is summed up in the motto, "Man of the 21st century should be free and unrestrained," is instilled into unsuspecting minds by disbelieving ideologists. With each passing day, children are introduced to deceit and immorality at earlier ages, and the variety of immoral activities increases. Indeed, there is a considerable increase in the number of children who commit murder in America and Europe. From the Far East comes the grievous news of children being exposed to every sort of sexual abuse for commercial purposes. On the other hand, it is unlikely that moral degeneration exists in a society where the morality of religion prevails. Having a deep fear for Allah, individuals avoid immorality. For this end, it is adequate to comply with the commandments of the Quran. For instance, in the following verse, the moral criteria set by Allah is clear. Allah commands justice and doing good and giving to relatives, and He forbids indecency and doing wrong and tyranny. He warns you so that hopefully you will pay heed. Surah Al-Nahl, 90. Believers who acknowledge these commandments of the Quran pay meticulous attention to observing the limits set by Allah. Thus, in a community of true believers, there is no immoral behavior. If exceptional cases arise and some individuals do wrong, then this will again not become a problem in society, since true believers will not allow this immorality. One of the main attributes of believers is to command what is right and forbid what is wrong, as stated in many verses. This attribute of the believers discourages immorality and prevents it from becoming widespread in society as a whole. Hence, a religious society is also a morally elite community. As stated in the verse, believers compete in doing good and encourage each other. They are the ones who follow the advice given to them. Allah spells out the attributes of a community whose members live by the principles of the religion. You are the best nation ever to be produced before mankind. You enjoin the right, forbid the wrong, and have faith in Allah. Surah Al-Imran, 110. It is obvious that such a society is morally superior to a disbelieving society. The problem of drugs is another source of distress seen in the societies of disbelief. Every day, newspapers and television supply in-depth coverage of news about drug use and addiction, which, in a way, numbs our minds, causing us to see this subject as an unimportant issue. However, a little bit of pondering provides us with a better understanding of the weakness of this acceptance. Is it acceptable that man, being the most conscious of all living beings on earth, should depend on an undeniable attachment to a few milligrams of some substance or material? The fact that the number of these people is too high to be disregarded makes the situation all the more appalling. Those becoming addicted to drug culture often take the initial dose saying, "Nothing happens if I only try it once." Consciously or unconsciously, these people often have a rebellious nature. They generally develop reasonable excuses for their addiction, which are inherently feeble. Ignoring their personal weak will or weaknesses, they put all the blame on people surrounding them. Family problems, failures at school or in business life, disputes in social life, financial problems, things not going their way or being depressed for one reason or another, are often seen as adequate reasons to make them go dissident. Once they attain this spirit, they develop a negative outlook and are drifted into an even more gloomy and negative outlook. Encountering life, they feel themselves weak. Indeed, since they do not see their Creator as their friend, they have no one to trust. They seek the solution in forgetting everything and losing true consciousness. With this in mind, each day they increase the dosage of drugs they take and prepare their destruction with their own hands. Besides having no faith in an eternal life after death, and assuming that death will put an end to their very existence, they feel terrified. This is because life, which they want to make the most of, turns into a nightmare for them. They ultimately face a deadlock as problems lying heavy in their daily life bring their physical and mental state to ruin. Yet, Allah granted man wisdom, will, and conscience, and promised him a blissful life both in this world and the next, provided that he aims for Allah's good pleasure. Otherwise, a torment awaits him both in this world and the hereafter. Those seeking ways to get close to Allah, on the other hand, are secure in the hope of attaining the eternal life of the hereafter by pleasing him, and lead a peaceful and comfortable life in this world. Being close to Allah, the eternal owner of the heavens, the earth, and everything in between, is surely the greatest support one can ever receive. That is why believers are the strongest and most resistant people in the world. They have a strong will and full consciousness, as well as not showing weakness. They do not find it proper to harbor a weakness in their souls. What makes them so strong and committed is their profound faith in Allah and their sincere devotion to the religious sent by Him. The religious lifestyle that Allah has chosen for mankind can bring comfort and peace to all societies. The existence of the religion brings the love felt for Allah. This love has an overwhelmingly positive and encouraging impact on all people. To earn the good pleasure of Allah, believers comport themselves in the most moral way and love and respect one another to earn the good pleasure of Allah. In general, mercy, tolerance, and compassion pervade the society. In compliance with the command of Allah, people strive with one another in hastening to good deeds. On the other hand, having fear for Allah, people conscientiously avoid immorality and evil. This way, every sort of evil which previously could not be hindered comes to an end in a moment. The warmth of the religion and its spirit penetrates every walk of life. No doubt, what is meant here is the original religion revealed by the Quran and living by this religion in a sincere way. Family has a key function in the structure and survival of a society. Where people live by the principles of the religion, in its true sense, the relations among family members improve considerably, and real love and respect is attained. In the absence of the family, the concept of state also loses its meaning. These are interrelated concepts indeed. The ruin of the family brings about the end of society and the state. In societies where religion has no penetration, people become rebellious, anarchistic, and take sides against their state. In situations where moral values have to be asserted and protected, it is certain that people having no fear for Allah make no effort to this end. At times, when social interests conflict with personal interests, it is evident that these people, deprived of religious values, do not hesitate to favor their own individualistic and conflicting desires, whether they be the rulers or the ruled. One should also consider that this preference is likely to lead one to evade serving one's people when the time comes. It is no surprise at all that these people may engage in terrorist activities. However, for a person who lives by the religion, concepts of state mean a lot. If it is required, one puts his life into jeopardy for these values. For such a person, the interests of his state are always above his own interests. In a society where religious understanding prevails, students also feel love and respect for the state. Instead of holding no brief for this holy institution, they provide support for it. They do not attack soldiers or police as they do in our day. On the contrary, considering that they are the ones ensuring the security of the state, they revere them and provide support to them. The members of society in general put their trust in their state, army, and police and stand by them. Student uprisings, disputes among brothers, clashes between right and left all come to an end. This is because no issue remains over which to dispute. Everyone starts to have faith in the Book of Allah, adopts the principles taught in this book, and consequently, nothing remains to have conflict over. In bringing solutions to problems, everyone places himself in somebody else's shoes, shows mercy to others, and approaches all issues with tolerance. Thus, each problem is solved in a short while and in the best possible way. Under such favorable conditions, governing the state becomes reasonably simple. Administrators of the country treat the citizens fairly and compassionately, and thus unjust practices cease. In return, they are respected by the citizens. Such states surely lay their bases on unshakable grounds. In an absence of religious principles and morality, father becomes an enemy of son, and vice versa. Brothers dispute. Employees become enemies of employers, and employers oppress their employees. Factories and firms halt operation due to anarchy. Social anarchy penetrates into society. Poor people attack wealthy ones, and the wealthy exploit the labor of the poor. In business life, people attack other groups. Disorders, conflicts, and anarchy become a way of life for the members of society. The reason for all this is that people have no fear for Allah. People having no fear for Allah feel free to commit injustice, murder, and do not hesitate to resort to extremes of violence and cruelty. Furthermore, without feeling a pang of conscience, they dare to publicly express their lack of regret. On the other hand, a person having faith that he could face an eternal punishment in hell can never commit these acts. The morality of the religion eradicates all these unfavorable deeds. Everything is handled easily, quietly, justly, and in the best manner. No judicial errors occur, and meanwhile, police stations and courts hardly find a case to deal with. The peaceful and comfortable state of mind of the people brings prosperity to the society as a whole in all walks of life. Scientific research flourishes. Hardly a day goes by without a new discovery or a technological breakthrough, and the results are used for the good of all. This prosperity owes its existence to the withdrawal of pressure from the human mind. Once one's mind is at ease, one develops better thinking faculties, and this state of mind enlarges the limits of thinking. The consequence is clear and unrestrained thinking. Living by good morality brings prosperity to people. They succeed in their business life and commercial life. Agriculture and industry flourish and bring no harm to anyone or anything. In all fields of endeavor, there is true progress. In art also, giant steps are taken. People whose dreams and horizons are suffocated by daily hassles, problems, and concerns free themselves from these troubles when they live by the principles of the true religion. Consequently, people excel at art and attain the limits of their personal potential. A man who is aware that Allah promised him his eternal paradise full of glory, art, and boundless favors will surely have the spirit to reach the ultimate in aesthetics and art. In his soul, he will profoundly perceive this pleasure and strive to attain a greater understanding. In an environment where people truly adhere to the religious principles and commandments of the Quran, all branches of art prosper. Nevertheless, disbelieving people are not interested in enriching their souls. They see the people surrounding them as beings who evolved from apes, who are destined to disappear one day. Their main aim in life is to satisfy the desires of their unregenerate selfish instincts. Selfish pursuits, however, do not improve the human soul, but rather blunt it. Such people can provide no genuine contribution to art. Moreover, it is unlikely that they take any pleasure from real aesthetics and art or appreciate them. In a country where the public do not enjoy and appreciate art, artists inevitably lose true artistic motivation. Money and self-promotion become the basic encouraging factors. They fail to produce or perform real art. To conclude, in the case where people sincerely adhere to the religion purely as described in the Quran, the present life turns into a sort of paradise. The social harmony people longed for and have strived to attain for ages, which they viewed as a utopia, an impossible dream, becomes real in a very short time. Adhering to the morality of the Quran brings happiness and peace to the lives of people, ends injustice, conflicts, inequality, fights, unfairness, extravagance, worries, bigotry, cruelty, and violence. It guides economic, commercial, and social relations and puts an end to quarrels among family members, relatives, and the wider society. The Quran brings the most essential, perfect, and rational solutions. Without the guidance of the righteous religion, people can never bring satisfactory and viable solutions to personal and social problems. Indeed, history carries countless problems to our day which still, without Quranic guidance, lack solutions. As long as man ignores the true religion, he will inevitably face troubles and problems he can never cope with. This is what awaits irreligious people in this world. The torment awaiting in the hereafter, however, will be more painful and everlasting. The one who knows man best is his Creator. In every age, Allah has provided man with every sort of explanation and knowledge through the righteous religion, the original message taught by all the many prophets. In the Quran, Allah informs us that man will attain the best way of living, provided that he adheres to the principles it provides. Anyone who acts rightly, male or female, being a believer, we will give them a good life, and we will recompense them according to the best of what they did. Surah Al-Nahl, 97. In pursuit of trivial interests, worldly benefits, and personal desires, however, if man insists on turning his back on the way of Allah, he will himself suffer the painful consequences. This is because ignoring the Quran means being deprived of the vital guidance we need. The solution is evident, however, to turn to Allah, the Creator of all beings, and to attain true happiness and tranquility by adhering to the religion Allah favors for us. The text is based on the book, The Nightmare of Disbelief by Harum Yahya.